Now, in conversation with the Sunday Independent's Barry Egan, Radio Nova.
This is Barry Egan on Radio Nova, and tonight my guest is Stephen Robinson of Laundry Shop. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. Thanks
Stephen,
for having me.
Growing up, what kind of stuff did you listen to?
Very much sort of into sort of 90s alternative music, noisy guitars, Nirvana. You know,
not that you can't tell from listening to the new album. When did the title come? Exit at Salvation, is it?
Yeah, it was just kind of sort of, I don't know, it sounded nice. I was driving along a highway one day in America, and I just saw this exit sign, and it popped into my head, Exit at Salvation. I thought it would be...
Yeah. And one of the things I love about the band is that it just gives the lie to this thing that Ireland is full of singer-songwriters, you know, that there's nothing else but singer-songwriters. I'm sure people come over from America and Europe and expect to see on every street corner there's a kind of a Declan O'Rourke or, you know, a Glenn Hansard.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a balls-out rock band.
Yeah, it kind of instinctively goes that way. I love a lot of those guys, and what they do is great, and... you know, Ireland's produced a lot of great singer-songwriters, but as far as... I just instinctively want to turn up my guitar and play electric guitar, and, you know, there's not a lot of bands... I wouldn't say there's not a lot of bands in Ireland that do that, but there's not a lot of bands that, you know... Irish radio generally tends to stick to sort of... the more acoustic-y, kind of safer stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I think there's a huge underground scene of sort of heavier guitar bands and rock bands that do their own thing, and it's not on the radio, but it's there. It's bubbling away under, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you're not ashamed of your guitar then?
No. Yeah. Absolutely not, no.
Yeah. So what was the first album that you really got into growing up?
I think... Like first album I got into Billy Idol, I'm ashamed to say, from a very young age.
Yeah.
And I used to spike my hair like Billy Idol and want to be Billy Idol when I was about, you know, 8 years old.
When did you grow out of that?
When I was about 8 and a half.
Yeah. Your parents batted out of you.
Yeah, yeah. But then Nirvana was a big one. Before Nirvana, it was Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
It blew my mind when I was a kid, and that was it. It was like, I heard Appetite for Destruction, and I just loved guitar music, you know? And, you know, I was kind of learning sing-songs and stuff like that all the way along, but it was I got very much into riffs and sort of the guitar and playing guitar.
And then, when you bought a guitar for the first time?
Oh, I was like 10.
Yeah.
10 years old. It was an acoustic guitar, and it was, you know, it was terrible.
But you sort of up in your bedroom playing Welcome to the Jungle on a six-string guitar.
And kind of, my guitar was, you know, I used my guitar as contraception for most of my teenage years, you know. It just kept me in my bedroom and away from girls, because I just, you know, I was in my bedroom playing all the time. And
I'm not going to make any jokes.
Yeah, okay.
Because you came in here with a white stick and dark glasses on. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a friend of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, but then when I joined bands, you know, it worked the opposite for me, so it was all good.
You're kind of like a beginner, a chick magnet. They were throwing themselves at you. What's your own background? What's your father do? Wasn't he in a heavy metal band or anything like that? Did you?
My dad was. You know, he's kind of. He's a jazz guy. You know, he had all these old jazz records that I wasn't allowed near, but he played them for me now and again. So he introduced me to sort of Stefan Grappelli,
yeah,
and people like that, and Barney Kessel, the pole winners, all these early kind of jazz things. And Chet Atkins actually was one he played me, and he was a great guitar player, and that kind of, I listened to that one, yeah, it's good, you know, but you know, it was something I kind of got into along the line, but it was more, then I sort of obviously discovered stuff for myself, you know.
So was he a professional musician?
No, he used to pal around with bands, he used to pal around with a few guitar players, and I think he sat in on the kit, but I don't think he was very good on the drums. That's what he tells me anyway.
Would he mind you saying that?
He tells me that, but I you know, would he mind me saying that? No, absolutely not, no.
Yeah. If you're listening, we apologise if we insulted
Sorry,
you.
Dad.
Yeah. And when did you realise you wanted to become a... you wanted to do this as a life choice? I won't say a career, because it can be a difficult road to go down.
Yeah, no, I just kind of always did it, as long as I can remember. Like, since I was a kid, I played in bands the whole time, from when I got a guitar, when I was 10, you know, about 11 I had my first band. And
11?
Yeah, I was putting together bands and stuff and trying to play gigs. And I remember my first gig was in Dundrum, before the Dundrum Shopping Centre was there. It was like the Dundrum Festival or something like that. We had a little gig, and we were just kids, but like, I've always done it. And as far as making a living off it, you know, I've been gone through times where I've made a living off it and times where I've had to substitute it with other work. And you know,
about prostitution and stuff like
that. Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean,
Sunset Boulevard.
Goes without saying that that's part of it.
When did you go to, you moved to America for a few years. When and why was that? I suppose it's the kind of source of the music you like, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was kind of to go back to what you were saying about Ireland and the singer-songwriters and just sort of the stuff that does get through the net and generally gets kind of a lot of attention here is a lot more sort of acoustic and sort of generic than what I would be into in the bands I like. So I thought, yeah, I'll go over and I'll see how we get on over there. And we did amazing stuff over there. I got to work with some great producers and toured all over the country. I spent a lot of time in LA and then toured across the country, went to New York and ended up working in a studio called House Aloud.
Yeah.
On the album that, you know,
was that the first album? Is it Grandstand?
No, Grandstanding I'd done before I left.
Yeah.
And we released that, and you know, we got a lot of love.
What were
on
the
that.
Influences on that?
I would say similar stuff. Sonic Youth, Pavement, Pixies,
yeah.
Nirvana. You know, I kind of think our sound is somewhere sort of between the sort of indie stuff. You know, the kind of Sonic Youth-y Pavement stuff, and then sort of heavier stuff like Smashing Pumpkins and like Rage Against the Machine, and it's kind of somewhere in the middle there, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean, but melodically it's always been sort of that kind of music that's we've been into. So yeah, we went over, we had a great time, and I got to work with amazing people.
We'd know?
Well, Dan Corneff and David Bennett, they worked on you'd know them from Paramore. They did the Riot album from Paramore. So.
Yeah,
and they run a studio there called House Aloud in New Jersey, and we had a setup where we rented an apartment near the studio, and we worked around all the big band schedules. Like, so there was,
who did you bump into?
Bumped into Deborah Harry one day, actually.
Yeah,
I was in the vocal booth putting in vocals, and she popped in. She was getting the little tour of the studio, so she popped in, and I was like, oh, how's it going?
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands going through the place that, like, there was, again, it's like they deal in that kind of really heavy, not really heavy, but I'd say sort of commercial rock sound, so it's very produced, very slick kind of rock sound, and that's kind of what we were going for in the first place.
Is it a danger not to make it too slick, where it can be kind of counterproductive?
It can, yeah. Yeah, it can. But the kind of stuff I'm into is where I like that very kind of produced rock sound rather than... I like very raw stuff, like, you know, for instance...
Pavement and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but even like with the heavier stuff like Queens of Stone Age and bands like that, where it's kind of... It's a very kind of raw, sort of analogy sound. You know, I can appreciate that, but the kind of stuff that I like and the direction
you
I want
to go... You
don't
want to go towards quite as far as Foreigner and that
No, kind of? No, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. Maybe on a fifth album.
But when the money starts rolling in.
When we lose our minds.
Was there any point where you felt you were sort of dancing on the edge of sanity with this group?
Yeah, there's been a few times. I think it's everybody else in the band that...
I mean, you're wearing a t-shirt and I don't see any track marks on your arm, so you're obviously relatively healthy.
Yeah.
Unless you're shooting up into your eyeball.
No, I mean, it's always, I think anyone that's in a band that, you know, unless you're making loads of money and you're, you know, you're flying around the place and it's all really cushy, I think everybody struggles with... It's probably the same in any business when you're dealing with people on a day-to-day basis, you know, and
yeah.
You're trying to do something... You know, you're trying to do something creative. It's the clash of personalities, I think, is the hardest part to deal with, you know?
But you've had lots of members in the band.
Yeah,
so
well, that's the thing.
Does that
I mean,
mean that
you're probably asking the wrong person.
So what's
the question.
Stephen Robinson like? I mean, people tend to leave your band. Why is that?
Well, no, to be honest, it's probably a lot to do with the fact that I write all the songs and I'm very sort of much, I would say, creatively a bit of a control freak.
Does that mean when you were younger, you had all your toys and your elbows up and you weren't letting anyone play with them? You know, these are my toys and not your toys.
It's kind of like that, yeah. I wasn't very
so your good. Songs are your toys.
I wasn't into group sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like that. It's just, some people, you know, as musicians, some people like to get involved and can kind of take that kind of situation. And some people are just like, no, I can't handle this, you know. Plus, a lot of the music kind of is quite technical to play and quite demanding.
Yeah.
So you'd have a lot of musicians that, you know, have come and gone that they couldn't really hack it. You know, I'm very lucky to be playing with amazing musicians at the moment.
You got like who's in the current line?
Well, at the moment on this album is Tanya O'Callaghan is an amazing bassist, and she's, you know, I came in contact with her through. It was actually through Facebook. We kind of got chatting, and it turned out she'd worked with Maynard Keenan from Tool.
Yeah,
and that was a big exciting thing for me because I'm a huge fan of Tool, and yeah, we just clicked, and she was just really into the vibe, and I'm playing with her and Jeffrey French.
Yeah,
is the drummer, and Jeff's just a powerhouse. He's a really good, really solid rock drummer. He's an amazing musician. So. Yeah, I'm very lucky to kind of have a great band, and it's kind of, you know, when you do a lot of, like, I do a lot of pre-production and writing myself and in studios and stuff like that, and you know, you tend to sort of, you really miss that side of having it come alive in the room with a band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
was that a sense you wanted with the album? It sounds kind of live.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's sort of the essence of rock music, you know, and aggressive kind of guitar music is that it's a human connection. You want to feel it from a band, you know. And I think we're definitely doing great shows at the moment. We're playing as much as we can, and we're really feeling like a huge energy with the audience, you know.
What are the lyrical concerns on the album? Like, what kind of stuff are you writing about?
I tend to sort of just write about, you know, whatever I'm going through at the time, and at the time of writing this record, I was going through, like, I was actually just going through a really bad breakup at the time, and it was sort of one of those relationships.
Is that good for the album? Or?
I think it was. Yeah, I think lyrically, I'm very proud of the lyrics and stuff like that. But
is it a form of catharsis, or is it easy to say that? Is it still painful to go through it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Hope your ex-girlfriend isn't listening to this.
I doubt it.
What, is she in prison on death row in Miami or something?
I won't go into that. No, I think it's always good if you can, you know, if you have to think about lyrics and construct your lyrics, they're not coming from a pure place, you know. The best songs, you don't really have to write them, they just kind of come out of you. And if you're really expressing yourself emotionally and it's something like that, you're telling a story, a true story about yourself or how you feel, you know, it'll just come out.
But is there a song you can mention on this that it kind of a heavy blues, I woke up this morning, my baby was gone kind of thing with it?
Well, there's a song called Just Can't Get Away, and it's just about being trapped in a relationship that's kind of on its last legs, and you really want to get out of it, but it's kind of like that, making that final sort of cut off, it's just, you just can't get away, you know. It's that kind of frustration, I think, that permeates a lot of the lyrics.
And how do you feel when you listen back to that track?
It sounds very angry, to be honest with you. It sounds very frustrated and angry, and it's kind of, I think, it's kind of like a guy's sort of impression of that last, you know, phase of a relationship when it's really sort of, it should have ended a while ago, and you just want to get out of it, and you just want to move on, and there's that sort of anger that's
goes through your mind when you play it live?
Am I in tune? Yeah.
What would you do if you saw her in the
Do we
the
sell
crowd?
Any t-shirts?
If you saw her in the crowd?
It's completely, you know, that's, the relationship is completely, you know, it's there's no regrets there. It's all in the past, you know, I've moved on. But
Was this in America, yeah?
This was in America, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, no, I don't. I just play the songs, you know. I try not to dig up all that.
What else are you writing about on the album?
Sort of, I like a lot of sort of stream of consciousness lyrics as well, you know, like Frank Black from the Pixies. I love the sort of just weird, strange, dark imagery that doesn't really have any sort of make any sort of logical sense.
Yeah,
you know, but they just create sort of pictures in your head, and you hear a line, you know, like you know, just you hear a line, and it just sort of provokes a sort of picture in your head, and you can kind of go away. And Tom Waits did it a lot as well with his lyrics.
Yeah,
and you go away and you sort of just imagine all this kind of weird stuff, and I love lyrics that do that.
Can you pick out a line from the album like that?
From my album?
Yeah.
I'll
have to press you there. You can phone a friend.
Yeah, I'd have to come back to that one.
So there's heartbreak on the album, there's stream of consciousness stuff. Is there anything else that we should look for?
I think it's a very sort of angry album. There's a lot of anger and sort of...
Have you got your anger out?
I'd like to think so, yeah. I'll do an easy listening album on the next one.
What were you like to be in a band with at that time?
Probably
that's
why I've been going through so many members, you know.
Yeah. He's like this kind of angry Steve Robinson, is it?
it seems to be that way, yeah.
Now is not a good time.
A lot of angry ex-musicians as well. No,
so you moved back from LA when?
It's about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So I'd been there for 2 years, like, you know, and I just...
Did living in LA change you?
Not really. I mean, it was the first time I'd kind of really been... I'd been to America a few times, but it's the first time I sort of been, like, I totally threw myself into sort of just playing music and touring around and gigging, and, you know, it was just great to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Where'd you live in LA?
I lived in a place called Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, but LA, I much preferred New York than LA, to be honest with you.
What sort of bands did you go to? Lots of gigs in New York and LA?
I did in New York. In LA, I found the music scene was, it was, there was two kind of elements to it. There was the sort of Sunset Boulevard kind of 80s leftovers, you know.
Hair bands.
Yeah, but they were really, really cheesy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just completely out of touch with reality. And then you have the Silver Lake kind of bands who were completely in the opposite direction, who were like really ultra hipster bands. And, you know, really just fashion conscious, and it was very faddy and all about sort of how curly your moustache was and how pointy your shoes were.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of bands. So,
And where did you fit into those?
You see, that's the thing. We're kind of like somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? I think we're a little bit too sort of, I wouldn't say cool, but maybe a little bit too poppy for the.
But aren't you not a bit out of step with Ireland at the moment? Aren't you not a bit too rocky for the Zeitgeist, which is what we discussed earlier?
So we went to New York and we fitted in great in New York. Everybody liked us there. So it's great. So yeah, we're going to go back there.
How did they see you in New York? What kind of band were? With Stephen Robinson, what kind of guy did they see him as? This kind of troubled Irish guy from Churchtown?
It's weird actually being... a lot of people just presume that you're drunk if you're Irish in America. Yeah. I think, they kind of... Yeah, they just kind of... probably the, you know... I don't know, the sort of quite tall, and I got a kind of strong stage presence, and they probably thought I was some sort of mad Irish Celtic drunkard, you know?
Axe warrior.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a mad Irish drunkard?
On occasion, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you?
I still am.
We should do it together sometime.
What was the wildest times for you over there? Anything you did that not quite illegal, but...
The wildest times.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Morrissey line. I'd like to do something that I'm ashamed of.
I'm kind of ashamed of how little money I let myself. How broke I managed to get at times when I was making the album, because I just literally put every bit of resources I had into just working on the music, and it, you know that. Well, I wouldn't say I probably. I'm probably quite proud of it, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you do. It's like it shows that it hasn't been a career path.
Yeah, it's a passion. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, anyone that's in a band, you do make a lot of money out of it for sometimes, and you know, I've had things where I've got lucky and a song's been used here or there and I made money out of it, but you go through times where you're just like pumping money into it, and you know, it really is about sort of doing it because you love it. And
has it some of your songs been used in films and stuff?
I just got word last week that one of my songs is going to be in a big Hollywood movie, actually, yeah, with James McAvoy in it. And wow. Jessica Chastain.
Which song is that?
It's a new song. It's called Dancing with the Lights Out. And it's...
Because you can't pay the electricity.
Exactly.
But we won't stop dancing anyway.
Because your girlfriend smashed up the lights.
Yeah. Is that an autobiographical?
Yeah. It's more anger and rage.
What do you like as a boyfriend?
Why do you want to know?
I'm a raving homosexual.
I'm just not there a lot
of the time. My girlfriend says this, I'm not a raving homosexual.
I'm not there a lot of the time because I'm busy playing music.
So are you the boyfriend is never there? Like, psychologically, you're kind of like, is it like when you're gazing out the window, you're like, you're telling her you're working? You're thinking of a song?
Well, no, to be honest with you, I've kind of found that I really like being single now because I just really have a lot of time just to write. I write all the time and I record. I'm always a bit of a studio rat. I like to be in the studio and produce, and I'm working with loads of different artists and stuff at the moment. And it's great to be able to just do that and work off your own clock, and you don't have to show up for a movie or dinner. You know what I mean?
Meet the parents. Or...
Yeah, all that stuff, you know. You can take it or leave it.
Are you going to wash your hair? Is that a t-shirt? Yeah. Where's the shirt?
Of course you can leave the top off the toothpaste and a wet towel on the bed and nobody cares, you know.
So you're just a pig, basically.
Basically,
A pig with a guitar.
Yeah.
That could be the name of the next album. Pigs with guitars. But then you'd have to ask Tanya.
I really learned a lot about myself on this, interview.
I'm going to give you a bell for psychology. But if you call it Pigs with Guitars, you need to ask Tanya to subtly leave the group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What do you think of yourself?
What do I think of myself? I don't. It's not for me to say.
Do you hate yourself? Love yourself? Go through moments?
No, it's up and down, really, isn't it? It's a roller coaster.
Like when you're walking, are you walking through this valley of the shadows? Are you you're walking back to happiness?
This is awfully deep. No, I mean, I guess it's the same as everybody, you know, there's good days and bad days.
And what about this week?
This week, I've been fairly happy because I got a song in a big movie last week, so,
yeah. Have you already spent the money?
I love myself this week.
On hair products and t-shirts.
No, it's a good week for me this week, so we'll see. We'll see what the next
one is. So when is the album out?
I'm looking at about 2 months before we bring it out. We're going to do. We have a single out at the moment, which we're currently doing the rounds for, called Overhead.
Yeah.
And it's getting received really well, so we're really happy with that.
And what about festivals? You're going to play?
Yeah, there's a few things that we're still sort of confirming, so I don't want to say any of them for definite because we're still kind of waiting back on definite confirmation on a few festivals. So yeah, as soon as we get confirmation, we'll stick them up on the website. It's thelaundryshop.net.
All right, listen, thanks so much for coming in. And
thanks for having me.
Thanks, Stephen. 100 FM. Radio Nova.